morning.
This past summer, I was given the opportunity to go to London. It's through YWAM. It's a GO team, so it's a two-week missions trip rather than the five-month one, which a lot of young people around here have been going on. And we have been able to learn a lot more about freedom on the streets by going to London during the Olympics. Our main focus while we were in London was human trafficking. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery, where young men and women all over the world are exploited and they're forced to do things against their will. Human trafficking, is the fastest growing crime in America, and these children have no choice to what they're being told or what they're doing. I just want to share a few statistics with you on how fast it's growing in America. The average age is 12 to 14 years old. 80% are female and 50% are children. Annually, 600,000 to 800,000 are trafficked every year. And an estimate today, people who are being trafficked or enslaved are working as slaves, is 27 million. The traffickers themselves make $32 billion every year, bringing in money from girls and young young men and women. And I just think that is completely ridiculous. So where do these traffickers go? These victims go to street prostitution, massage parlors, brothels, strip clubs, and sometimes even at truck stops. They're in pornographic films and photos off the internet. These girls and guys are forced to do all the stuff that they had no choice in the matter of doing. They're drugged and abused, and they're brainwashed into being forced to do all of these things. So my team, by the grace of God, was able to go and just share the gospel on the streets and let people know like what human trafficking is and how to raise awareness and just spread the love of God all over the world. The first thing we did while we were in London was we went to motels. We went to 30 different motels, and we went in there and we asked them like how, if they knew about human trafficking, and have they ever heard about it, and if they knew anything to do to stop it. So we gave them flyers to put up in their hotels so people would know. Traffickers will usually take their targets to cheap motels because they're only there for a short amount of time. There were some very receptive managers that came in and spoke with us, and others did not seem like they were interested at all. And then there were others that didn't speak very good English, so when we were explaining what human trafficking was, I think he only knew the term trafficking because he basically pushed us out of the hotel. So you get a lot of different responses when you want to share about human trafficking, because some people are very for it and some people are against it. One thing that I really learned was that traffickers will target the biggest events all over the world, like the Olympics, the Super Bowl, the World Cup. This is where they go for. And I read an article the other day, and they even target natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy, because kids and parents are separated, so they automatically go in and look for these kids that have no parents, and then they force them to do things against their will. They also, in third world countries, they also like to target the poverty families, people who are struggling to survive. They will go in there, and they will ask these parents if they could take their children, and they will take care of them. They will give them jobs, they will give them support, love, affection, when they're really only trying to take them away to traffic them. They'll even go as far as bribing the parents by giving them a loan to even start a business, like restaurants and organizations, to help them actually get out of debt. But really, they're just taking their kids to traffic them with the hope that they're never going to see their kids again. So there's a lot of different things and ways that people can get trafficked without knowing. And there was another part when we went to London was the red light district in Soho. And this is probably the darkest place that I've ever been to. Just people everywhere watching your every move. And we joined with the ministry team down there, and we prayed on the streets while we were down there. And we would hand out coffee and cupcakes and a way to get people to come up to us so we could talk to them. And some people were all about, like, yeah, what are you doing? And we're all, like, telling them about God. And we did a lot of street ministry. And other people would walk by, and they would obviously be curious but didn't have enough guts to come up and talk to us. And then the other ones would walk by, and they would laugh and mock you. And I've never felt that kind of feeling before, where people just mocked what you were doing. It was heartbreaking. So our main focus was not only to bring physical freedom, but also spiritual freedom, so people understand that there is a deeper level of intimacy. Andrew, can you show a video? I wanted to show you guys a video, a short clip of the Red Light District area in Soho, so you can kind of get a feel of what it was like. And also, one of my team leaders had a story to share in this video of how God used our team.
Hey, so we just spent some time praying down here, and this is Soho in London, and it's almost kind of a red light district. There's a lot of things down here. One of the locals has described it as the unsavory, sweet and sour part of town. So got time to pray, and it was amazing. We're just sitting in a circle, standing in a circle praying, and it was amazing to see people come by and ask, what are you doing? Why are you here, and what are you doing? And it was terrific to say, we're praying. We're praying because we believe Jesus is here too. And got a chance to share about the gospel, got to share hope with people, and really looking forward to seeing salvations, but we're also looking forward to seeing freedom down here. A lot of these places are a front for many different things, so we're excited to see the results of sharing hope with these people here. So again, thanks for sending us down, and we'll give you more updates as we go.
Tonight I'm out on the streets in Soho in London, which is kind of the red light district here, and we've been out sharing the gospel with people on the street, handing out free coffee and tea and just sharing God's love with people and praying for them. And I got to talk to a man named Dan tonight, and it was kind of a sad story. He was telling me how he never had really thought much about where his life was going or what path he was on or where he would go when he died, but just a few months ago we had a friend commit suicide, and that really woke him up, and he's like, I think God's trying to get my attention. And I told him, well, I think God is definitely trying to get your attention, and that's why I'm here on the street right now for you. I told him that I love God and had a relationship with him, and that God wanted a relationship with Dan as well. And so I was able to share with him the gospel, and I was able to share with him just about how God created us for a relationship with him, and the only way for that relationship is through a commitment to Jesus. And so at the end of our conversation, Dan prayed to receive Jesus that night, and walked away with just the satisfaction and a complete peace in knowing that he now had a relationship with God, and that brought him to a place of just contentment in him. So it was a pretty cool story that God is out here on the red light district in a place that seems so dark and so just empty sometimes, but God's at work and people are getting saved here in Soho.
So that's kind of an example of kind of what we experienced when we were down there. There was another day when we went into the same area where we partnered with this lady, and her name was Heidi. And God had called her literally to do street ministry, where she went around and door knocked to all of these brothels. And she built relationships with these young women who were, like, this was their lifestyle. She didn't necessarily, you know, obviously throw God at them right at first, but she built a friendship with them so that they could trust her when they needed her. And there was a way out. Like, prostitution wasn't the only thing that was an option for them. She also took us around the streets and showed us where the brothels were. Some of them were upstairs. They had red light bulbs outside, and that's where, like, you knew where the models were, you knew where the prostitutes were, so people knew where to go to get what they wanted. And so she showed us where they had been shut down. There was a lot of brothels that the law enforcement had already shut down, which was an awesome thing to see, and how some of them were in the process of being shut down, and some of them were still running, which they were working on. The thing about law enforcement today is that it's so hard to make laws because a lot of people are involved with prostitution and sex trafficking. Like your lawyers, your police officers, they're actually in prostitution. They're a pimp or they're a prostitute or they're helping people out. So what are they going to do? They're going to fight against it. So you can't get the opportunity to shut it down. So it's really sad. One thing that also really breaks my heart is that you don't have to go to a third world country. You don't have to go to another state in the U.S. It's right here in Delaware, in our streets on Bridgeville and Seaford and Harrington and Dover. It's all over the place. It's very hush-hush because we're not very open about it. But if you talked about it, you would see a lot more of it. If you knew how to look for it and spot it, you could do something about it. Another organization we partnered with was called Stop the Traffic, and it was an organization in London where they set up, during the Olympics, they set up these huge gift boxes, and they had stories of all the kids who had been trafficked and then rescued. So our job was to stand outside of this gift box and share what human trafficking was, if they had heard of it, to raise awareness for people, because there's all these different tourists coming in that have never been on the streets of London. They don't know who to trust. All these young women, they don't know who to turn to when they're looking for directions, and some guy can come up and steer them in the wrong direction, and they would never know. So our job was to talk to them. A lot of people knew what it was, and a lot of people were really supportive of what we were doing. And then there were others who just didn't want anything to do with us. So there were some opportunities where, like, we didn't even have to talk to them about human trafficking. There was other things in their life going on, and our ministry was everything. So we got to pray with them. And a lot of times if you approach people and ask them what you can pray for, they'll be very receptive because there's always someone in need who needs prayer. So that was really cool to experience. And one of the ways God blew my mind is London is very international. There's so many different kind of cultures there. And we kept track of, like, the people we talked to, the different countries they were from, and we calculated up at the end. We talked to people from over 41 different nations. And it was very cool to see just the international part of it. Another short story is an example of just being available for God to use you in the vulnerable places. Some of the volunteers that were with us at the gift box, they didn't even know about God. They didn't even know who God was. So we got to share with them a little bit what we were doing in London, not just the gift box. And there was one day when we were on lunch break, and I was talking to this 19-year-old girl, and she's like, I don't understand how you can believe that stuff, like who God is. So I got the opportunity to share with her who God was and why we believed what we did. And I even got to pray with her at the end, which was really cool. So God can use you any way he wants, in a simple prayer, anywhere. Just all you have to do is be available for God. There is some ways that we can help without actually going overseas or going on the streets. There's an organization called Fair Trade, and it's where workers and producers and manufacturers are treated fairly. None of them are, you know, forced laborers. None of them are forced to do anything they don't want to do. They are just people who are paid fair prices. And can you pull up the symbol? Oh, there it is. If you notice on some of the products, if you're out shopping in a grocery store, you'll see some of the symbols on products all over, like Food Lion, Redner's, Weiler's, anywhere. Some of them have products on there. And that means that these products have been fair trade certified, which means everyone is being treated fairly and no one is being forced into doing things that they don't want to do. Because a lot of times young kids that are trafficked, they're either put into restaurants, they're put into factories, cocoa plantations. So a lot of the chocolate and coffee that is made today, like some little kid made that for you. And it just breaks my heart because no one notices that. So when you buy fair trade products, it's safe and you're supporting the anti-trafficking. So that's just something that, a way that the community can help by noticing those things. The products can be more expensive because the people that are making these products are paid fair prices, so obviously it comes down to that. Yes, so there are a lot of ways we can help, and we can help by stopping the demand. We can stop the supply, and basically the people who are trafficking these women. Yeah, the people who are trafficked that are forced to do things that against their will need help, they need saving, they need love, they need Jesus, but so do the people who are trafficking. And I think if we start there and start telling them about who God is and, you know, he loves them and this is wrong, then there would be a lot less people being trafficked in the world today. So that's something that God's just laid on my heart, and I really felt the need to share with everybody, because it's something that you can be aware of as a community. You can teach people about it. You can tell your children. They need to be aware of who they're dealing with, and most importantly, you can pray, and that's the biggest thing. You can pray, you can raise awareness, and you can support fair trade. Those are the three biggest things, and God wants his kids back. He wants the kids that have been trafficked. He wants them back for his own, because he has work to do in his kingdom, and he needs everybody he can to stand with him. So I really believe that people who are being aware of what's going on around them will have a better understanding of how to be safe. And I've been doing research, and there is hotlines you can call for around here. Delaware is not very active in the anti-trafficking laws. There's a Polaris project in Washington. The hotline goes directly to there. We meet 3 out of the 10 standards for anti-human trafficking laws, which I thought was really sad, because a lot of times the traffickers will find the areas that they don't have very many laws. But if you go to, like, Las Vegas, Nevada, like, there's women in windows, and you can literally go up there and just buy a woman. Like, she's an object. But here in Delaware, everything's hush-hush. They do it behind doors. And so I think everyone needs to stand together and, you know, say no to this. And, like, modern-day slavery needs to be shut down, because it's not something that's of God's will. So I wanted to share this verse with you. It's Psalms 34:18, and it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I really believe that the Lord wants to save those who are being torn, they are being teared down, and he wants us back. So just be available in understanding what human trafficking is and how you can be aware. Anyone can help, even if it's here or if it's in another country. I talked to my team leaders the other day, and they are also doing another human trafficking outreach in 2014 for the World Cup. Their main focus will be human trafficking, and they will be doing stuff on the streets, talking about people, just the same type of thing, raising awareness. So if you guys are interested in that, you can contact me, and I can contact my leaders if that's something that, you know, God's really putting on your heart to do. There is another short video I wanted to show you. It's just kind of like everything that we did while we were in London with music and stuff like that, that I wanted to show you. So, yeah.
A few questions real quick. First question, what did you learn about God throughout the whole experience?
His faithfulness, and how even in the darkest places of the world, he shows up regardless of how you feel. He continually used my team to save people, to even hear about God for the first time, and I think that is a huge thing, just being able to go out there and see just what God has been doing even before we were there, that God's at work before you even know it.
Mm-hmm. Was it stretching then?
Yes, very.
It was very stretching, outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, a little bit.
You did things that you wouldn't have normally done. Mm-hmm. Yep. And what changed, would you say? I should ask this question. Is your relationship with the Lord different now than it was before you experienced the short-term missions outreach situation?
In a way, yes. I'm more of aware of just the evilness that goes on in the world, and God just really has broken my heart for human trafficking, and I can watch any video with kids being kidnapped or anything like that, and I just start bawling.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like it, and it's the little things in the community, like, that goes on that you don't even know, like, like that you're supporting it and you don't know about it.
And what would you say to some young person who's considering going to YWAM or REACH or any other such short-term missions program?
That is a very stretching experience, but it's definitely worth it. And you learn more about who God is and the Father heart of God.
The Father heart of God. Mm-hmm. Is that what you would say you've learned about?
Say that again.
Is that what you've learned about God's heart as a father?
Yes, and that he cares about his children and little things. I just think that God has so much bigger plans than for everyone that we can even think of. Like, every little person has a plan, and there was this one girl specifically on a video that I watched. She thought her destiny was to be a prostitute because her grandmother and her mother were prostitutes, so she thought that's all she had. And I just believe that if people know the truth and if they know who God is, then they will understand that there's more to life than prostitution.
Mm. Okay. Can you extend a hand? I'm going to bless this world. Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant this. You can clap, too, but yeah, there you go. That's more what I had in mind. See, give a hand is this. Extend a hand is this. All right. God bless her in Jesus' name. And I ask, Father, that you would stir up and continue Heidi's journey. I pray, God, that the kingdom of Jesus, which involves justice, which involves the rescue of the lost, the perishing, and it involves restoration and reconciliation, and it involves righting wrongs. Lord, you are the God of the least, the last, and the lost. And we pray a blessing on Heidi. In Jesus' name, we ask that you would strengthen this conviction, and I ask, God, that you would continue to mobilize your church to be the people who say no to the demonic forces in the world, in our society, in our culture, try to erase or try to ignore the image of God, the value of God, the dignity of God, and the worth of God that you put in each and every human life. We bless her in the name of the Lord. Amen.